Oh, how we need the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3. Going to look at several different verses of Scripture tonight. I have a question for you to think about as we read these verses and get started here for these next few minutes. And that question is, why aren't we talking more about the coming of the Lord? Since we are moving so close to the end of this age, and since there are so many signs and evidences of the closing of this age, why are we not talking about it? Why isn't it a topic that is on our minds, on our hearts? Well, that's the purpose of this message tonight, is to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you start remembering things that are very important. I grew up in a church. I've mentioned this many times. An old-time preacher. Our pastor was a man who was uneducated, third-grade education. He's a man of prayer. He was a man who studied the Bible, and he preached under a great anointing of the Spirit. The Lord used him and made a huge impact upon my life. I just respected him so much and had such, and the church honored him, respected him, because they knew that he had the touch of God upon his life. But over the years, and I sat under him most of my younger years, and I realized that there were just a few points or few messages, or no matter what text he took or what message that he was preaching, he would most of the time get around to mentioning at least these three topics. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He could hardly ever preach without dealing with the topic of the Holy Ghost. And then number two is he would deal with topics on holiness, holy living, constantly reminding us of the importance of holy living. So he was a holiness preacher and a Holy Ghost preacher. And the third topic was the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. And I'm telling you, it didn't matter what he was preaching on or what text. He'd usually get around to hitting those three topics just about every message, because it was so important to him. If you remember, some of you have been around here for a good while, Sister Sherwood has done a number of different kids' crusades here at the church. And some of those kids' crusades that she has done, she has dealt with the four, what we, I guess, would call cardinal doctrines. We know we have many, many doctrines. But she would teach the children these four cardinal doctrines: salvation, baptism in the Holy Ghost, divine healing, and the coming of the Lord. Those four cardinal doctrines. Now, I went through all that just to remind you that this is an essential and important part of what we believe. And in light of what the Scripture says and all that is happening in our world right now, why are we not talking more about the coming of the Lord? We should. If there's any benefit to a dark world that we live in and all the terrible things, atrocities that are taking place in our world right now, if there's any benefit in all of this, it should bring us to the place that we just are thinking, I want to get out of this world. This world is so wicked and so corrupt, and I'm ready to make my escape from this world. And we don't know when that day is going to arrive, but we do know, and as I said, my pastor growing up would preach this so often that as a kid, I can remember really sitting in the pew kind of nervous about it, afraid. What if I'm not ready? What if I'm not ready? And there would be strong conviction that would fall in the services dealing with those topics that I mentioned. But let's look at some verses here tonight. To start with here in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now that's a that part of that verse is so self-explanatory that there should be this gratitude and gratefulness in our heart. How wonderful it is that we could be called the sons of God. Therefore, and whenever you see therefore, it's always related to the previous statement. Since we know that God loved us enough to adopt us into the family of God, and we are called sons of God, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The more you serve the Lord, the longer you serve the Lord, the more you recognize that you're out of place in this world. We used to sing a song. I found it in this Church of God hymnal. And it says, we won't sing it, maybe we'll later, but I think I marked it. I thought I marked it. It just says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Remember that one? Amen. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I think it's a real serious thing for us to consider. Have we settled in so comfortable into this old world that we just really don't want to talk about the coming of the Lord? We don't want to talk about the fact that this is a cardinal doctrine that we believe. It's a New Testament doctrine. It's an Old Testament doctrine. And it's what we believe. We believe that the Lord is coming. We believe his coming is soon. We believe in the bodily, imminent, visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We believe that he's going to come back. We believe he's going to catch away the church, the believers. Let's read on here in verse 2 of the text. Beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. The first verse was saying, you're a son of God, so you're not going to feel at home in this world. And the second verse is saying, since you're a son of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And the apostle is saying, there's going to come a time when believers are going to be caught up from this place, and there's going to be a transformation take place in you. Amen. You're going to be transformed. And you're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The motivation to live a holy life. One of the motivations is that we know that the Lord could come at any moment. Amen. And we should live, and we should consider that. Philippians 3 and 20. I'm going to give you several verses here tonight. For our conversation, and the word there means our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's what's going to happen. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds, and we're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. And the apostle here is saying, who shall change your vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. After the resurrection and before Christ's ascension, he was here on this earth for the space of about 50 days, and during that amount of time, the Bible says he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, but he was in a glorified body. He was in a changed body. He was no longer in the same physical body. He was recognizable, but not the same. Remember, they had some confusion recognizing him, that eventually in the garden they would see him and just think he's the gardener, and then their eyes would be open and they would recognize him. Or those men on the road to Emmaus, Jesus come along beside them, and at first they didn't see him, but as he expounded to them the scriptures concerning himself, then their eyes were open. So there was similarities. He was recognized. He even visited his disciples who were afraid for their own lives, and he just appeared in the room. You know, you can't do that in a physical body, but Jesus did that because he was in a glorified body, and that's what's going to happen to you and to me whenever we're caught up together. Amen. Praise the Lord. We believe in the bodily, imminent, visible return of Jesus Christ, and we believe that it could happen at any time. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee. These were the two men or angels, likely, that appeared at the ascension of Jesus Christ. He's in his glorified body, and now he's ascending into heaven. He's left his last message, his last commission to his disciples. Go to Jerusalem, wait there and tarry until you're endued with power from on high. Go there. He said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into heaven? That great company of disciples, they were watching Jesus as he began to move up and ascend into heaven. And these two angels appeared and said, why are you staring up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to come that same way. The same way that he ascended in that glorified body, ascending into heaven. He's going to come back and he's going to appear. And he's going to gather the church and the saints of God that have passed before. We're all going to have a glorious meeting in the air. And we're going to be transformed. Our bodies are going to be changed. These vile bodies, these physical bodies, these weak bodies are going to be changed into a glorified state. Praise God. Amen. Jesus told his disciples that it was this message, that Jesus is coming, that should comfort you. It should be a comforting thing for you. And not something to be dreaded or fearful of, but to look forward to that, to long for his coming. It should be a comfort to you. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is a comforting message. Amen. The world is a mess, and sin and all kinds of wickedness and the darkness. And we understand we have a job to do. We have a commission from the Lord to do. And we're to be busy doing what he has called us to do, reaching as many as we can for the kingdom. But one of these days, that work is going to be interrupted by the coming of the Lord. Amen. When he says, okay, time shall be no more. This is it. Here we go. Praise God. Comfort one another with these words. That's the promise of God. And not only should we comfort ourselves, but also it should be something that the church talks about a lot. It should be a topic of conversation. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Father, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak. That phrase means this is what you should be talking about. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The early church, the first century church and the early church, they not only talked about the coming of the Lord, from the time Jesus ascended into heaven, from that day forward, this was a topic of conversation. Look through it. Run the references in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul and Peter and John and all the writers, every one of them. It was a constant, repeated theme. Jesus is going to come back for his people. He's going to come back for the church. As a matter of fact, the early church, they used the word Maranatha, just like you would greet one another and say, God bless you. Nice to see you. The early church, the early Christians, they greeted one another with the word Maranatha, which means the Lord cometh. The Lord cometh. Greet one another. They greeted one another with Maranatha. This phrase had become a watchword. And it summed up the hope of the early church and the Christians. This is what they talked about. They whispered it. They were identified by it, that Jesus is coming. Maranatha. Jesus is coming. Even when the church was under persecution, they would talk about it. He's coming. He's coming. Maranatha. The Lord cometh. George Whitefield, who was that famous reformer and evangelist, English, and preached to thousands here in America and was part of a great reformation. He said we should have what he called the Maranatha mindset. That's what he called it. The Maranatha mindset. So that we're always continually sounding in our ears and everywhere that we are proclaiming the fact that Jesus is coming, and we're going to be caught up and we're going to meet him in the air. That was the message. And no doubt this was one of the reasons that he was so motivated to preach the gospel and so used of the Lord to preach the gospel, because he believed that Jesus was coming soon. I'm sad to say, but there's a lot that's being promoted in Christendom today about ways to better yourself and self-improvement and making this life as good as it can be and getting settled in and enjoying your life and benefiting from this life. And of course, we've been going through three or four Sundays about how our lives can be blessed of the Lord. But what a wonderful blessing is to live faithfully for God and with the hope that one of these days, and maybe very, very soon, he's going to catch the church away. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? Should it be a topic of conversation? Should we offer that as a hope when people are talking about, oh, this world is in a mess. Terrorism and all this violence and the wicked and the evil that's going on in our world today. We want to point our fingers at different ones and blame them. But really what we need to do is point them to the fact that, hey, all these things are happening so that we'll get more and more discontented with this world. And that we'll set our eyes upon the Lord and upon his soon coming. Amen. You don't have to search very much at all in the New Testament. But you'll just find verse after verse after verse dealing with this wonderful doctrine of the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The word means we won't precede them. We know that those that are already in the grave, we know that their bodies are going to come out of the grave. Amen. That's what it says here in this text in 2 Thessalonians. Let's keep reading. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the next thing on God's calendar. The next thing on God's calendar is his descending from heaven with a loud shout. That's the next thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And we know that the archangel were those senior angels, however many, some believe there are three, others believe there are more than that, but it doesn't really make any difference. But they were seemingly senior angels. They're going to descend as well with the voice of the archangel. Amen. Likely Gabriel. Amen. He's always the announcer. And so that archangel who is the announcer, more than likely, there's going to be a shout and there's going to be a trumpet sound. Amen. And there's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what it's talking about when it says that we're not going to be able to prevent them. We won't precede those that are already in the grave, because the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain, that's you and me, if he comes before the day that we go to the grave, then we're going to follow those that are already in the grave. We're going to be following right behind them. And their physical bodies that are in the grave,
are going to be transformed into those glorious bodies.
Amen. Amen. And our physical bodies,
we're going to be caught up in the air with them, and
our bodies are going to be changed. Praise the Lord. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what are we to do? Already said we need to be comforting one another. We need to be making this a topic of conversation, something that we talk about. Amen. It's not a hidden doctrine, but it's something that we need to be conversing about, talking about. The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. Get your eyes set upon the sky. He's coming soon. And that's an important thing. Get your focus on things that are above, on heavenly things. Get your eyes upon the sky. That doesn't mean necessarily that you're walking around always looking heavenward. It just means that your spirit is so in tune and so ready to leave this world that you're looking for His coming. Amen. Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him. That's you and me, or it should be. Those of us, saints of God, unto them that look for Him, shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming after those that are looking for His appearing. Our eyes are fixed upon this wonderful, blessed hope. And then we're also to be praying for the Lord's coming. Amen? You're awfully quiet tonight. We need to be praying for the coming of the Lord. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We should be praying for His kingdom. We should be praying for the coming of the Lord. Actually, the last prayer recorded in the Scripture, the book of Revelation, is that very prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So we need to be looking for His appearing and looking for His coming and praying for His coming. Second, for His soon appearing. And then 2 Timothy 4 and 7 and 8. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also. That couldn't be you and me as well. All of them, and to all of them also that love His appearing. Amen. Like my old pastor, Brother Lawrence Reed, he loved to talk about the coming of the Lord. And he would preach it and preach it, and he would preach it from every angle. He'd preach the Old Testament. He would preach all the different types in the Old Testament about the coming of the Lord, and preach all these verses that I've went through here tonight, which is just a few of the many other New Testament verses. He loved His appearing. He looked for it. He longed for it, and He loved His appearing. Praise God. The text that we started with here tonight tells us that we're to allow this hope that's in us, the hope of the coming of the Lord, to purify our lives. Amen. It should purify us. It should have that kind of a sanctifying effect upon us. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. I remember as a kid people saying, I don't know if my mom did, or different ones would say to me, almost as a corrective thing, you know, if you were doing something you shouldn't be doing, well, the Lord could come. The Lord could come. And what if He came and caught you involved in doing that thing? And it was something you're constantly reminded of. So I was thinking on this today. Why aren't we talking more about it? We need to. We need to. And we need to preach more about it. And we need to let it be a part of our conversation and be comforted by the fact that even though the world is in a big, big mess, it's all of this that's going on in our world. One day, very soon, it's all going to be interrupted by catching away. amen, of the saints of God, the church, the blood washed, caught away into the clouds, amen, to meet the Lord in the air. That's a wonderful, wonderful hope that we have. It's a blessed hope. Amen. This world is not my home. Can we sing a little bit of that? Surely I can find it in this book. I thought I marked it. But I'm going to have to go to the index and find it. You don't have the book, so I can't tell you what page, but you probably know it. Why don't you stand up with me? This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, dear Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Another one we used to sing, which I don't know the words to it. We used to sing one called, I Don't Want to Get Adjusted to This World. Remember that one? I know I'm old, but I remember these old songs. I grew up on them. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I don't want to get settled in to this old world. It's a big mistake. It's a big mistake. Amen. Our citizenship is not in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. We're just passing through. Amen. We're just passing through. Oh Lord, you know I have nothing. Heaven's not my home. Dear Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, dear Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was another one that just came to my mind, and then it left my mind. Heaven's Jubilee. 100, is it 110? I used to even know the numbers, what page they were on. 110, Heaven's Jubilee. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints arrive, headed for that Jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall arrive. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. There was another one called Meeting in the Air. I don't know if it's in here or not. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I long to meet in that land beyond the sky. You will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare.
God's own son, Peter, at that meeting in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot more of them that need to be reminding us of the reality that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Maranatha, the Lord is at hand. The Lord cometh. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you living your life with that kind of a expectancy in your heart that Jesus could come at any moment? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just do one more. Jesus is coming soon. Times are here, filling men's hearts with freedom we all know here. Now it's at stake. Our hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Need their doom, trumpets will sound. All the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the sky. Going where no more dies, heaven's where dies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's live with that expectancy of the Lord's coming very, very soon. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful promise, for that blessed hope. Thank you for your people that have gathered in here on this Wednesday night. Lord, help us to live our lives, Lord, with that hope in our heart that surely you could come at any time. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for that wonderful hope that we have. Lord, may it purify us. May it comfort us. Lord, may it affect our lives, the way that we live, knowing that you're coming to see. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you tonight.